Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Dr. Michael Connell, Principal Research Scientist for CAN, a Virginia think tank that advises the U.S. Navy. Dr. Connell, the U.S. Navy has reiterated a warning to Iran, saying, and this is a direct quote, armed vessels approaching within 100 meters may be interpreted as a threat and subject to lawful defensive measures. What are those lawful defensive measures, from simplest to most severe?
We can only speculate, of course, but the U.S. Navy statement suggests that individual captains may now have more latitude to respond in situations where they perceive hostile intent. Defensive measures could potentially include a range of options, many of which have already been in play. At the low end, they include a variety of non-kinetic measures, such as sonic blasts and signaling with flares. At the high end, they could include warning shots fired from deck guns all the way to up to actually targeting the vessels in question with live rounds.
This so-called hydropack warning was issued on May 20th. The last harassment incident in the area that we know about happened a bit over a month ago, when Iranian fast boats passed within just a handful of yards of moving U.S. naval vessels. So why now? Preventive measures for new sanctions, cyber warfare on Iran's principal port, signs of naval movements by the Revolutionary Guard, intelligence on Iranian plans to recommence harassment of commercial oil tankers around the Strait of Hormuz?
I think it's doubtful that the recent warning is tied to the broader strategic issues listed, except perhaps indirectly as a result of the higher state of tensions between the U.S. and Iran. I'd say it's more directly linked to the incident in April, in which the Guard Corps Navy vessels harassed U.S. Navy vessels operating international waters. Similar interactions have taken place in the past, but three things make this latest incident different, I think. First is the scale of the incident. It wasn't just a few vessels, it was a squadron of small boats swarming several U.S. Navy and Coast Guard vessels. Second is the context. Last year, there were a number of attacks on civilian ships and infrastructure in the Gulf region, which most observers and the U.S. government ascribed to Iran. So tensions were already running somewhat higher than usual. And finally, the current U.S. administration is pursuing a more robust strategy toward Iran, the so-called maximum pressure campaign. And the administration certainly would not want to appear weak in the eyes of its political constituency. It's also worth noting that the small boats could pose a serious threat to larger vessels, particularly if allowed to close within short distances. This danger is magnified in a place like the Persian Gulf, with its constrained water space and its busy shipping lanes. The attack on the USS Cole in 2000 in Aden Harbor is a case in point. A small vessel packed with explosives was allowed to enter within the Cole's defensive perimeter. It didn't stop when hailed, and the next thing you knew, you had 17 dead sailors and a disabled warship. So captains in this situation face a difficult choice, and I certainly don't envy them.
You are listening to Dr. Michael Connell, Principal Research Scientist for CAN, a Virginia think tank that advises the U.S. Navy. A couple of weeks ago, in a training accident, 19 Iranian sailors were killed by one of their own missiles. What kind of a navy does Iran have, and what kind of threat does it pose to the U.S. Navy and to vessels of other nations providing protection for oil shipments?
Iran has two navies, of course. It has the regular navy, the Artesh Navy, and also the Revolutionary Guard Corps Navy, the IRGC Navy. The capabilities of these two navies are modest compared to a large, sophisticated blue water navy like that of the United States. But the capabilities that they do have are amplified in the Gulf region, again, because of the confined operating space, and also the fact that the Strait of Hormuz is a major trade artery and an economic choke point, mainly due to the Gulf's hydrocarbon reserves. Iran periodically uses its naval forces to threaten coalition and third-party shipping, thereby pressuring international energy markets. It does this to push back against the U.S. and its partners and allies over policies by them that Tehran objects to, and also to Iran's naval forces do this to burnish their deterrent capabilities. In other words, if you keep pressuring Iran, things could go bad for everyone. Most Gulf security experts agree that Iran is unlikely to deliberately initiate a conflict in the Gulf. While such a conflict would be bad for everyone's interests, Iran would suffer more than anyone in this situation. However, hostile interactions, like those I referenced before, could lead to inadvertent escalation. The U.S. Navy statement is probably designed to avoid any misperceptions or ambiguities in that regard.
Dr. Michael Connell, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.